Greetings, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Tomorrow Never Knows, a Beatles podcast. And today, we're going to talk about the Love album. Is it the last Beatles masterpiece? But first, let's talk about how it came to pass. So in the late 90s, George Harrison met the founder of Cirque du Soleil. That's how you pronounce it. I looked it up. So he met him after a Grand Prix in Monaco, and there was an after party, and he went to the after party, and he and Harrison spoke, and George came up with the idea of having a Cirque du Soleil based on the Beatles. He actually came up with two ideas. One was based on the Beatles' music, and the other one was based on his own music. On Harrison's own music, and of course the founder loved it. Like, I mean, you know, who wouldn't love to base something on real Beatles music, not covers or anything like that? And so after they came up with the idea, George took it upon himself to go see Ringo and McCartney and Yoko and get them on board, which he did. And unfortunately, George passed away before this came to fruition. It all came to fruition, but the others carried on with it. So in reality, this is a George project. This is like George left a lot of legacies, but I think this one is one of his most important because the Love album is such a masterpiece. So once this project looked like it was going ahead, Giles Martin thought to himself, well, mashups are really big, and they were in the 2000s. You know, you already had Beatles and Beach Boys mashups. You had Nirvana and Beach Boys mashups, Beatles and ABBA mashups, all sorts of things. But this was going to be a Beatles and Beatles mashup. So he went and did a demo of Tomorrow Never Knows, and Within You and Without You, and he took it to Paul, and Paul really liked it. Paul actually said, we should be doing more of this stuff. So it looked like the project was going ahead, and George Martin and Giles Martin went and they mined all the Beatles tracks, and they were doing it quickly as well, because they thought the plug could be pulled any time on this, which is what happens with a lot of Beatles projects. So the beauty of all this for me is that George Martin produced this. George Martin was on board. If you listen to it, you can hear George Martin everywhere. He is the only one, other than the four, who actually understands Beatles music, who contributed a lot to Beatles music. And he brought with him a couple of things. And the first thing was attention to detail. George Martin has forensic attention to detail. He knows which songs to pick. He knows what sounds to put in, what sounds to leave out. And he has fantastic taste. He's got great taste. The other thing is, and I think with a lot of these reissues, and this is my humble opinion, but George Martin brought this sonic clarity to it. It just sounds so clear and crisp, whereas I think some of the reissues sound a little bit muddy. Sgt. Pepper sounded a little bit muddy. Revolver sounded a little bit muddy. I know that it says the album was produced by George Martin and Giles Martin, but, you know, I've got the feeling that Giles was just a bit of a, like an apprentice, you know, twiddled a few knobs here and there. Everything would have been overseen by George. Nothing would have been included without his approval. Nothing would have been left out without his approval. This was the last album that George Martin produced before he died. So this is, in my opinion, his last masterpiece. But is it the Beatles' last masterpiece? Is it even a masterpiece? Let's have a forensic, let's take a note from George Martin's book and have a forensic, detailed look at the tracks. Now, the Love album has been described as a sound collage, but I think it's much more than that. I think when I listen to it, it actually takes me on a trip. a trip through like the Beatles' music, a trip through their history. There's so much. I visualize so many things when I'm listening to it. I find it very. It's actually psychedelic. It's their most psychedelic album since Sgt. Pepper. And George Martin gives a narrative. He actually gives a story. So George Martin used 130 commercially released tracks by the Beatles on this album and some demos that weren't released. So let's see if we can just go through and see what's what here. So the first track is Because, without the music, which is interesting to me because I used to, with the stereo version, I would turn down one speaker, which was a music speaker, and just listen to the vocals, and that's what they've done. And it sets off a sort of ghostly aura that that interwines itself throughout the album, which I really love. And it uses sounds from the Wildlife Fund version of Across the Universe, as well as Freeze a Bird. So it uses bird sounds from those. And in addition, a new recording of a wood pigeon was implemented to make it more British, according to George Martin. So track two is Get Back. And I have to confess, it's not one of my favourite Beatles songs, although last time I saw McCartney, he played it and it was fantastic. But the stuff they add onto it really spices it up and makes it sound really nice. So they use the opening chord from A Hard Day's Night, the drum and guitar solos from The End, percussion from Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band reprise, and the orchestral swell from A Day in the Life. And again, I can't stress how clear and crisp sounding this all is. So then we got track three, which is Glass Onion, which I was really happy about because I think Glass Onion is such an underrated song. And I remember in an interview, John saying he heard it once on the radio and it really surprised him because it's not a song that he'd ever heard on the radio before. And what they've put on that is they've put guitars from Things We Said Today, which I think sounds great, horns from Penny Lane, and vocals from Hello Goodbye. Now, if there's any criticism I have on this album, and it's a very light criticism, I don't think the vocals from Hello Goodbye should have been included. But having said that, I don't mind them. I don't mind them. I just don't think it's as masterful as the rest of the stuff, and you know, you guys out there probably love it. So track four is Eleanor Rigby with Julia Transition, which is quite nice. Eleanor Rigby sounds awesome. It's probably the best version I've heard. Much better than what Giles Martin's done. Although he did do a very good job on Revolver with Eleanor Rigby. I don't know why they just didn't take this and put it on the Revolver mix. And of course, all of this is punctuated by those R's from, you know, those ghostly vocals from Because, which sort of, it sort of makes it sound like a concept album in a way. It's like, you know, going to somewhere like Disneyland or whatever, and you're hopping on one of those trains that takes you all around the park and you go and visit different things like Adventureland or Spaceland or Frontierland or whatever they're called. And that's kind of what it reminds me of while I'm just sitting there listening to it. So the next track is I Am the Walrus, and it's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. I love it. And again, I don't know why they didn't just lift this and put it on the Blue album. It's way better than that monstrosity that Giles created. I hate it. I hate that version. This is the version for me. This and the mono version, the two versions that I love. And right at the end, as On the Walrus is fading out, you can hear screaming, which transitions us to I Want to Hold Your Hand. And George Martin said that he used elements from both the studio recording and the Hollywood Bowl live performance. Now, I'm guessing, well, I think I'm knowing, that the actual song, I Want to Hold Your Hand, is the studio version all the way through. I don't think there's any live part in it. I think the live part is the girl screaming. Again, I think this is superior to Giles Martin's work. I know this is an abridged version. They've probably got a full version somewhere, and they probably should have put that in. Track 7, one of my favourites, Drive My Car, The Word, What You're Doing. I don't know if you remember, I grew up in the 70s, and Stars on 45 came out, and they had some Beatles cover band doing all bits and pieces of Beatles songs, which was a massive, massive hit, and which I really loved. But I love the choice here. I think these are songs that don't get enough love. Drive My Car, The Word, which is a fantastic song, and What You're Doing, which is, I think, one of Paul's best songs. I really, really love that song. I've never, ever heard anyone else say they love it, but I really love that song. And it features a guitar solo from Taxman and the horn section from Savoy Truffle. They also remixed keyboards from Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds and backing vocals from Helter Skelter. And to me, I think this should have been the single. You know, it probably was a single, I don't know, but it wasn't the first single. I think this should have been a single. I really love it. Then after that, we've got Gnick Nuts, which is Sun King backwards. And you know how I love stuff played backwards. And it's accompanied by the tambura drone, and it's nice and ghostly and beautiful. So then we have track 9, Something with Blue Jay Way transition, which is, you know, I mean, they're both George songs, but they're sort of odd ones to put together, but it works. It works. It also includes elements from Nowhere Man. George Martin said the portion from Blue Jay Way set the mood for the next track, which they created in response to any idea by the director, or to an idea, sorry, by the director of the Love Show for a macabre Victorian circus. And of course that next track was Being for the Benefit of Mr. Kite. So this is probably my favourite track on the whole album, Being for the Benefit of Mr. Kite, I Want You, She's So Heavy, and Helter Skelter. That transition from being for the Benefit of Mr. Kite into I Want You, She's So Heavy is just awesome. It's orgasmic. So the track contains the whole of Being for the Benefit of Mr. Kite. Guitars from I Want You, She's So Heavy, and heavily delayed vocals from Helter Skelter. It also includes horse sounds from Good Morning, Good Morning, harmonium, and other elements from Cry Baby Cry and laughter from Piggies. It's, to me, that is a masterpiece. If they just released that as a single on its own or just one track on its own, I would have been happy, you know. But we got more. We got more. So track 11, Help. Another superior version to what we got in the 2024 remixes. Honestly, I don't know why. I just don't know why they didn't lift it and put it on there. I mean, it's produced by George Martin. Why have another mix, an inferior mix by someone else? I mean, I don't want to sound like I'm ragging on Giles Martin. Anyone who takes over that position has got massive, massive shoes to fill. I mean, the best producer of all time, you got to fill. And it's impossible. It's impossible to do it. So if you're going to step up and take the job, well, you've got to open yourself up to some criticism. So, yeah, I think that is the version on this is way superior to the version on the Red albums that came out. Track 13, Strawberry Fields Forever. Now, this is an example of George Martin's genius. What he's done here is he's shown us the chronological history of how Strawberry Fields Forever was put together. It starts off with the demo, and then it goes into rehearsals, and then it ends up with the final product. It is it's absolutely brilliant. So what's it say here? Okay, Strawberry Fields, the version builds from an acoustic demo to incorporate sections of take one of the song, including harmony vocals that were cut from the edit of take one, issued on the 1996 anthology compilation and take 26. At the end of the track, it includes an orchestral section from Sgt. Pepper, the Lonely Hearts Club Band, which is brilliant. The piano solo from In My Life, which sounds fantastic. The brass included in Penny Lane. The cello and harpsichord from Piggies. I love that. I love that. And the coda of Hello Goodbye. And according to George Martin, a part of I'm Only Sleeping appears in the mix. Track 14, the big single, Within You and Without You, Tomorrow Never Knows. Now, I remember seeing this. I had no idea any of this was happening, and I'd come home late one night, and there used to be this show, might be still on, I don't know, called Rage in Australia, which just played clips all night. I think it started at about 12 and ended at about 6 in the morning. And I came home and I turned it on, and the next thing, boom, I was hit with that. And I was like, what the hell is this? And I was just blown away. I was blown away by the drums from Tomorrow Never Knows, which I've said in previous podcasts should have been used in the Revolver box set. And Within You, Without You has always been a favourite of mine. Of course, Tomorrow Never Knows has always been a favourite of mine. And I was struck by how, like back then, raves and dance parties were huge. And this sounded like a rave dance party, sort of one of those doof, doof songs. And I thought, oh, that's clever, you know. And I thought it'd be much bigger than it was. But I remember seeing it with a friend who was also a big Beatles fan, and he was quite offended, actually. He said, you know, Tomorrow Never Knows is one of those times where John just hit genius. He just hit genius, and you shouldn't play around with that. But, you know, it's interesting to have. Again, it's not one of my favourites, but yeah, I really like it. The next track is Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. I really love this one too, and it includes horns and guitars from Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, clav violin from Baby You're a Rich Man, and sound effects from Tomorrow Never Knows. I think, you know, they've done a great job. And I just came up with what I was trying to explain before. This is a magical mystery tour around a Beatles theme park. That's what this is. That's why I love it so much. Then we've got Octopus's Garden. Man, I love Ringo so much. I love him so much. After reading just about all the Beatles, the only consistent, nice guy in the whole story is Ringo. Anyway, it starts off with, it's got string arrangements from Goodnight, sound effects and vocal elements from Yellow Submarine, stuff from Lovely Reader, Helter Skelter, and ends with the beginning guitar riff from Sun King. And I love the beginning where Ringo's just sort of singing by himself. It's awesome. Love you, Ringo. Track 17, Lady Madonna. Again, not one of my favourite Beatles songs, but I really like this version because of the stuff they include in the mashup, which is percussion from Why Don't We Do It in the Road, the piano from Oh Bloody Oh Blada, the guitar riff from Hey Bulldog, Billy Preston's organ solo from I Want You, She's So Heavy, and Eric Clapton's solo from While My Guitar Gently Weeps. I mean, how can you not love that? Track 18, Here Comes the Sun with the Inner Light transition. The Inner Light is a song that I don't think ever got enough love. Giles Martin said the track includes tabla and Dilruba from Within You, Without You, backing vocals from Oh Darling, and a bass line from I Want You, She's So Heavy. And it's nice. I think it's really nice, and it's sort of, well, it's all part of the journey, isn't it? The next song is a John Mashfest with Come Together, Dear Prudence, Cry Baby Cry. As I've said before, Cry Baby Cry and Dear Prudence are two of my favourite Beatles songs. Come Together, I like, not as much as those two, but Come Together gets millions upon millions of hits on Spotify. People love it. Anyway, the track contains nearly all of Come Together, which transitions into Dear Prudence. It concludes with a vocal part from the end of Cry Baby Cry, strings from Eleanor Rigby, and what George Martin referred to as a climax from A Day in the Life. Now, again, all these songs are just so interesting. If you're a Beatles fan, they're just so interesting to listen to. And the production and George Martin's touch just makes them so great. So if you've never listened to it, I urge you to go out and listen to it right now. Right now. Don't worry about me or this podcast. Turn it off and go listen to it right now. So track 20 is Revolution, the electric version, and it's the best version of the electric version I've heard, with the blistering guitars. Nothing, I don't think anything is done to that, but it's just so good to hear it in all its rock and roll glory. Probably one of the first punk songs, I'd say. That's followed by Back in the USSR, like two great rock songs back to back. Back in the USSR doesn't have any mashup in it, but it does have extra McCartney vocals, especially at the beginning and at the end. It's a great version. It just sounds more rock and roll, more party-ish. Now, track 22 is very special, and I'm going to tell you why, and it's not because of the song. It's While My Guitar Gently Weeps, the demo version that was on Anthology 3, which I like. You know, I like it. Not as good as the original. I would have liked them to use an electronic version. But it's special because George Martin wrote a new orchestral score for the track, which he described as being his final Beatles string arrangement. So when you listen to that, just remember that this is George Martin's final string arrangement. The next track is A Day in the Life, and it starts off with the Sugar Plum Fairy, Sugar Plum Fairy, and it is so beautiful that it makes me want to cry. That's how beautiful it is. And again, I don't know why they didn't use this version on the Sgt. Pepper box set instead of the version that Giles Martin used, where, you know, the part where John's doing the that's like so ghostly and one of my favourite bits in all of Beatles music. And Giles Martin just totally drowned that out, and you can hear that in all its raw glory in this version. It is, I've just got no words for it. It's just so gorgeous. Track 24 is Hey Jude. You know, a song I used to love as a kid, but I've heard it so much that I've lost my love for it. It's like a divorce, a bad marriage. I've divorced Hey Jude. And although when I saw McCartney, I spent 10 minutes going, na, 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 with everyone else. But, I mean, do we really need to have Hey Jude again? I know millions and millions and millions of people love it. You know, young people love it. They're just discovering it. But I'm over it. Like I said, I'm divorced from Hey Jude, and I never want to see Hey Jude again. So the final chords and horns from Hey Jude bleed into Sgt. Pepper Reprise, which is a very punchy rock and roll version. I have to say, though, maybe this version is kind of equal to the one that came out in the Sgt. Pepper box set. I think maybe Giles Martin might have equaled it because he's got more, a bit more drums and a bit more bass, so it sounds a bit more meatier, but... Still, It's a great song. I actually like the reprise better than the actual song. But whenever you hear that song, whether it's on the Sgt. Pepper record or it's at a Paul McCartney concert or where it's on this, you know it's very near the end. And it is very near the end because All You Need Is Love is the last track on the record and CD, although there is two bonus tracks that we'll be looking at. All You Need Is Love, it includes elements from Baby You're a Rich Man, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, and ends with orchestration from Goodnight and the sign-off from the Beatles' third Christmas record, which I thought was a really good touch. So let's have a look at these two bonus tracks. Track 27, Fool on the Hill, which is a bonus. It's got a freaky intro. I love the intro to that. And the bells are just so crystal clear. It just sounds great. I don't know, for some reason, it reminds me of The Hobbit. So as a kid, it reminded me of The Hobbit. It was, I know I always imagined this was a song that Bilbo or Frodo from Lord of the Rings would sing. The Beatles were going to do a Lord of the Rings movie, which would have been very, very interesting. And yeah, it kind of reminds me of that. The last track is Girl, another very, I think, underrated Beatles song. Remixed by George Martin, and he really liked that, and I think he was a little bit miffed that it was left off the original album, but it's a great version. It's a great version, and I'm not sure if they used a different John vocal because his vocals sound more raw in this. And of course, again, everything sounds clearer and just better, but... And I was thinking about this, and I was thinking that, you know, you can tell Ringo's drumming because of his style, and all of them had a certain style. Well, George Martin has got a certain style as well. He's got a certain style of production, and when you put that style together with the four guys, it is the Beatles. That is the Beatles. This is the last real Beatles album. It's unless with AI, and it'll probably happen one day, but unless with AI, AI has progressed so much that you can just type in, okay, you can give AI the raw tapes and type in, I want you to produce this exactly how George Martin would produce it. And it does. And if that happens, well, you know, that's a whole new can of worms, isn't it? But for me, this is the last Beatles masterpiece. I can't stop listening to this album, and it's the type of album. It's the album that if someone said to me, give me a Beatles album to listen to, just to, you know, that has a broad range of things, so I can just understand who the Beatles were, I would give them this. Because not only has it got like songs from every era, it's still got a bit of that freakiness that the Beatles had, you know, during Revolver and Sgt. Pepper and the White Album, you know, that sort of weirdness that the Beatles had that everyone loved. It's got that to it, and that's what I love about it. All right, let's see how the album performed. So in Australia, the album went to number 2, Austria, number 3, Belgium, number 3, Canada, number 1, Czech Republic, number 23, Danish albums, number 3, Dutch albums, number 4, Finnish, number 5, French, number 1, German albums, number 2, Irish albums, number 3, Italian albums, number 7, Norwegian albums, number 8, New Zealand, number 2, Polish, number 2, Portuguese, number 5, Swedish albums, number 2, UK albums, number 3, US Billboard, number 4, and US Top Rock albums, number 1. So, you know, it goes to show you everything the Beatles touch turns to sold. In Argentina, it went gold. Australia, double platinum. Belgium, gold. Canada, double platinum. Denmark, double platinum. France, platinum. Germany, three times gold. Greece, gold. Ireland, three times platinum. Japan, platinum. Mexico, gold. Netherlands, gold. New Zealand, platinum. Poland, platinum. Portugal, gold. Spain, platinum. Sweden, gold. Switzerland, platinum. United Kingdom, double platinum. And United States, double platinum. So worldwide, it sold 5 million copies, with 2 million of those sales coming from America. So, you know, the Beatles can do no wrong. I'm glad a lot of people have got this album, because I think with future generations are going to hold up this album and really get into it. To us, to our generation, it's sort of something like a new, you know, it's more like a compilation album, and a lot of us people mightn't take it that seriously, but it really is a work of art. It's definitely the best Beatles compilation album, if you're going to look at it that way. But it's a real work of art. It's George Martin's last album, last work he did on Beatles stuff, and it really, you can hear George all over it. And it's George Harrison's legacy. If it wasn't for George Harrison, we wouldn't have gotten this at all. So have another listen to it. If you haven't listened to it, I'm begging you to go and listen to it. And I'd like to know what your comments are. You can, if you're listening on Spotify, you can go over to YouTube and comment on there if you like. And I'll see you guys later.